Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from B2B Social. And today we're going to talk about the future is now, agile marketing for law firms. What can agile do for you? Our guest today is someone that has been on the show before and is a good friend, Lynn Tellefson Staley. Lynn is the co-founder of Structura Strategy Group, a woman-owned professional services marketing and management advisory. Structura services include branding strategy, marketing roadmaps, agile marketing, team appraisals, content marketing strategy, digital marketing strategy, and project management and advisory services. Before Structura, Lynn served in multiple senior marketing leadership roles, including roles for Cahill Gordon and Rindell, Willens, Goldman and Spitzer, and Dentons. Earlier in her career, Lynn served in various sales and marketing roles for legal information and technology providers. Welcome back to the show, Lynn.
Thank you, Guy. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is so great to have you back. And I am so glad that we were able to arrange for you to come in and talk about one of my favorite topics, which is agile marketing. Before we dive into agile marketing, though, I think it's important for you to explain a little bit more about Structura. What is it all about so that our audience can learn about your new company and how you can help them?
Yeah, I have teamed up with Paula Zerinsky. We have been friends and professional colleagues for many years. And together, we are delivering foundational growth strategies for professional services companies, including, of course, law firms. And essentially, what we believe is that having a strong foundation is important for growth. And we're helping firms with their branding strategies, developing marketing roadmaps. We do audits of all kinds across the marketing spectrum, develop digital marketing strategies and plans, and help them make their technology work. So essentially getting firms from where they are to where they want to grow. And there's a lot that we do across that spectrum based on our past as chief marketing and business development officers.
Excellent, excellent. Very exciting. All right, so let's dive into the topic and let's start with the basics. What exactly is agile marketing?
Sure, and I get that question a lot. Agile marketing is an approach that's specific to managing marketing work and is guided by agile methodologies, principles, and techniques. The techniques respond to the common frustrations marketers confront today as they adapt to rapidly changing market conditions. But the main aspect, the one aspect rather, that I would emphasize for those who are not familiar with agile marketing is that it's focused on the delivery of continuous value to clients. And that's an important point. It's focusing on the delivery of continuous value to clients. And it provides a systematic way of getting marketing work done, like digital campaigns, for instance, that provides notable efficiencies and improvements in both the volume of work produced and the quality of work produced. So the end goal, of course, is maximum impact to clients and in turn to an organization's bottom line. Of course, at law firms, we have all of the lawyers are our clients, as well as the external clients of the firm itself. So everywhere we turn, we have clients, and delivering continuous value in today's world has become more challenging, I think, than ever before.
I agree with you more. And since B2B Social is an agile marketing agency, I am very well aware of all of the benefits that agile marketing can bring, including handling work in a much more efficient way and adding that added review and quality mechanism that is so important.
Was it worth the journey, guys?
You know what, Lynn? We talked a little bit about this when we had dinner the other night, but it 100% was worth the journey. It certainly was not an easy journey. It took a lot of time and effort from our entire team to get there. We've been at this now probably over 2.5 years now. I think we just eclipse sprint number 178 or something like that. We do weekly sprints. But it was a lot. Yeah, it was a lifesaver, especially once COVID hit, because we had the methodology down by then, and we were able to operate in remotely in a way that most other agencies and organizations were not able to do so. So while it's not an easy thing to do, and it takes, you know, it takes some learning and it takes some patience and it takes teaching people how to work in a different way, and it takes your clients to learn what it actually means and how to set expectations. At the end of the day, for us, it has been a phenomenal investment.
That's great to hear. 178 sprints, that's certainly a lot. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that about COVID, because the fifth annual State of Agile Marketing report was just released, and over half of those who, quote, had mature, unquote, agile teams said that they felt that they were prepared to handle COVID in a way that they would not have been able to handle otherwise. So it's interesting that you said that about the timing and how well prepared you were. But you're right, like anything, change management is not an easy process, is it? And it's not fast, it's not overnight.
It's not easy, but as the old saying goes, you know, you get out of it what you put into it. And for us, it's really been a great thing. But let's not talk about us. Let's talk about law firms. And why do you think agile marketing is a good fit for law firms?
Well, that's a great question. And there are three big reasons that come to my mind. The first is, I think that many firms, law firms, marketing teams suffer from the same challenges and frustrations. And I'll just name some of them so that we have some specifics to go by. And when I was in-house, I certainly felt probably all of these to varying degrees over different periods of time. And there are things like rapidly changing priorities. It's hard to say that without a smile, because it was seldom that I left at the end of the day and didn't have a priority that had been changed. Too many last-minute requests, lengthy approval processes that kind of bog down the throughput and getting work out the door. Questions by leadership, or leadership that doesn't completely understand what the marketing team is working on. Working too slowly, not having effective processes for managing the stakeholder feedback and aligning the work and the future work with expectations and goals. Those are just a few of the common frustrations that I think factor in play here in that reason. Another reason is that the pace, the need for speed has never been greater. I can't emphasize that enough. I've been in marketing for over 30 years, and there's been nothing like the last 5 or 6 years in terms of the pace that's required to create and to deliver value. It's just dramatically increased, and agile marketing offers dramatic improvements for getting more volume of work out the door and high-quality work. And in law firms, of course, we like to have things almost picture perfect before we send them out. And that can still be the case. But there is something called a minimum viable product, which I'm sure you're familiar with in the agile way of working. And so you can have perfect minimum viable products. But even optimized teams struggle to keep pace with the rate of change today, especially in the legal field, because thought leadership across numerous practice areas, industries, and geographies is the minimum basic requirement guide for effective marketing today. It just is. And it's very difficult with the amount of content, as I'm sure you're familiar with. I know I've worked with you in the past, and just getting the content right and getting the content out the door can be challenging. But responding to the day-to-day and having an opportunity to create and refine your strategy, your plan, and to work on the forward-reaching strategic projects is the ideal place for CMOs to operate in a digital-first world. And so for that reason, I think it's important too.
Bravo. I completely agree with you. And obviously, working with many, many different law firms and their marketing teams, I feel many of the pain points that you just mentioned. I might add that one of the observations that I've had over the years of working with CMOs and marketing teams is that, and I think this was the case for you as well, is a lot of times they feel that all the work they do is very reactive, right? They are just reacting to the latest needs of the lawyers or the latest emergency or, oh my God, the latest court decision just came out. We need to get an alert out ASAP and things like that. And I think with agile marketing, it helps you to do two things. First, as a team, it helps you to lay out what it is you're going to be doing for that particular sprint, right? Whether your sprint is a week long or 2 weeks long or however long each of your sprints are, it really enables you to become more proactive rather than reactive in the work that you're doing. And I have found that doing that, it's much more rewarding for the marketing team, right? Knowing that you set out to do
certain... I was going to say less frustrated.
Well, yes, right. That too. But there's an element of reward, right? That you set out to do certain work for a particular period of time, and then you finish the work. And there's a sense of accomplishment there.
And immediate gratification.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I think that's one thing. The other thing is it also helps to set up expectations. And this is the way that we do it with our clients. And it would be the same thing for an internal marketing department at a law firm. You know, of course, there's always going to be emergencies or things that need to be handled right away. But one of the things that we do is we say to our clients, okay, of course we can handle that, but we had planned to do A, B, and C this particular week. So if we're going to handle X, Y, Z, that means that A, B, and C is going to have to wait until the following week. And that is a great thing because it helps to set expectations from our clients and it helps to ensure that the quality of work that is being produced is the highest quality possible. Do you agree with that?
I do. I absolutely agree with that. And I think it would be the same internally as well, which actually also brings me into reason number three. And that is, like IT, marketing work and marketing roles have become increasingly specialized and data-driven, right? And agile marketing is a data-driven methodology. And it makes good use of the increasing specialization in the field by organizing your teams according to their primary, secondary, and tertiary, you know, skills and proclivities. So you have, you know, within a sprint, you have a defined set of work that you're doing. And if that changes because the client needs it to be changed for whatever reason, then that's going to impact like a domino effect the rest of the work. So you have to go back and put that into perspective. And you have to do that in a way that the client understands what the impact of the change is in midstream. That was my third reason. To sum them, the common challenges, the need for speed, the increasing specialization and data-first approach to marketing, which I know you guys practice. And at the same time, here's the real motivation. Tell me if you agree with this. And I've been doing this a long time, but the marketing team's opportunity to impact the firm's bottom line has never been greater.
Yep. I agree 100%.
To create and capitalize, yeah, whether it's demand generation or account-based marketing and service delivery, it's dependent upon a marketing team's ability to deliver continuous value to clients. And that's at the heart of agile marketing. So agile marketing can facilitate a team's ability to perform. And especially where digital work is concerned. In fact, I think you and I talked about this a little bit. I would posit, I don't know that firms can do digital work well without adopting an agile framework. I don't know how that can be done because how else do you measure and figure out what's working and then scale it?
I completely
take a long time.
I 100% agree. I think the other thing too is that an agile marketing team is typically a happier team, right? That's one of the things we do, by the way, is whenever we have our retrospective, which is, you know, we get together every week and we talk about, you know, what went well and what could we do better. Not blaming anyone specifically, but really as a team, you know, what did we learn from this particular sprint? What are the processes that we can improve? And it gives everyone in the team an ability to, you know, share their opinions and some insights that are really, really valuable. It doesn't always have to come from the top. A lot of times, you know, people have ideas of how to, you know, enhance processes or make work better. The other thing we always do during the retrospective is we take everyone's happiness for? You know, we want to know, as it relates to their work, how happy are they, you know, or how frustrated they might be that week, so that we know how we can improve from week to week and sprint to sprint.
So you're saying you have drama-free retrospectives? That's great.
For the most part, yes. And, awesome. and that is another change management thing, right? Is I think a big part of Agile is to think about the team, not about the individual. And so team members to understand that, and not to blame people, but rather to suggest alternatives or better processes, is a really different way to approach challenges and issues. And there's always going to be challenges and issues. But if you can do it in a productive manner and as a team, I think you're going to have a happier, more productive team that is going to produce higher quality work.
I agree. And, you know, also makes me think about blocks to certain projects can also be either lengthy approval processes or even lawyers that you're working with in your firm because you're waiting for them to review things. So to do things in a way that's not specific to the human beings that are involved, but are related to the team and the project, really helps keep that kind of evaluation at a minimum and keeps things moving forward. But the happiness piece is really cool. I like that you do that. And to your point, in this new survey, I guess it came out in April, the State of Agile Marketing, where 500 marketers around the world were surveyed by Adobe and IBM, 75% of marketing teams that are all Agile said they were happy with the ways of working with Agile in their department, and they were more likely to strongly agree that their department can handle fast-paced work compared to ad hoc marketers. And then a whopping 92% are confident that they can tackle any unplanned work in remote or in-person conditions. That's what I was thinking of earlier when you mentioned COVID. 92%, if I was wrong with the percentage I gave earlier. That's really big. But happiness is a big factor, because if the team feels, you know, stressed out and overworked and like they can never get past the day-to-day because the day-to-day keeps building up, having a happier team becomes more and more important, because that's not going to change unless you actively address it in one way or another. Because the requests are always going to continue to build.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now. Go to the Good2Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook.
So we talked about, you know, agile marketing as a concept, but how does agile marketing actually really look like in practice? How does it actually work? If you had joined the new firm as a CMO, and you wanted to put an agile marketing methodology in place, what does that look like? What do you need from a process, technology, all of those different things? What is it that you need to make this work?
Sure. And I'm going to ask you to chime in here too, because I know you've been through it. But there are techniques that are specific to working in agile methodologies. And you mentioned a couple of them, but I'll just talk about a few of them. Daily stand-up meetings. Kanban boards, which is one of the agile methodologies, which includes estimating and calculations of cost of delay, and there are several ways to calculate the cost of delay. Here's a big one for law firms: user stories and epics, sprints, short iterations, retrospectives, which is what we were just talking about, but visual project management. So it's a visual way of working. Here's my favorite: work in progress limits, or WIP limits. So you calculate the amount of work that your team can handle at any given time, and then you have to implement limits to those, right? Because you're focused on the delivery, the creation and delivery, I should say, of continuous value. So that really helps when it comes to ascertaining what the throughput of a team is and having folks that can help with strategy, help with planning, and then help with the throughput pieces of it. And it's very helpful in terms of, for instance, meeting new positions and going back to folks. So if everyone is aware, say, for instance, that you could handle 5 projects at the same time, and then the priorities change and there's suddenly 6 priorities, well, I'm going to go back to what you mentioned earlier about working with clients and then having to kind of put a pause in the action, delay of game, and saying, hey, well, we can do that. We can stop and work on that right now, but here's what that looks like in terms of what we originally discussed. So I think that's very helpful. But you're going to see things like starting the day every day with a stand-up meeting, which is typically just 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And it focuses on the project, as you mentioned. It focuses on what is it that we're here to do today? How are we going to work individually and together to create or deliver, or both, continuous value? So it's a process, right? And everyone has their role, and it looks visual. So you could walk into a room and see a board literally with a list of what's called a backlog, a list of all of the things that go into a specific project and the order and the priority that they're in and how long it is going to take you to do each of those pieces. So that's very different than the way we work now. And the other is iteration. So, you know, there are an annual plans. What we thought last October, you know, the world changes so quickly that there's really not much use for something like an annual plan in the agile world. But tell me, or tell us rather, what you think of that and how it looks at Good to Be Social.
Yeah, so a lot of the things that you said are very, very valid, and it's exactly the way that we work, right? We have daily stand-up calls. They're Zoom calls now. They used to be in person, and we would literally stand up and have a meeting for 15 minutes. Now we do it over Zoom. But they're quick meetings, and it's basically everyone talking about where they may need help, where they have any roadblocks, and what they're currently working on for that particular day. So it's a great way to make sure that the team is collaborating and that they're focused on the things that are most important to the client. So that's a big part of it. We use a software platform called Jira that has a built-in Kanban board. We have another tool that's also by Atlassian, which is the company that makes Jira, called Confluence, where we take all of our notes in each of our retrospectives. And yes, we have our sprints. So we run our sprints Tuesday to Tuesday. We have 1-week sprints. And basically on Tuesday, we will lay out all of the work that we're going to be doing for that week. We'll go client by client and say, okay, this is what we're going to be doing this week. And then every day we're checking our progress against our set goals. You know, what is the completion rate on a day-by-day rate basis? And where are we based upon what we want to complete? And obviously, a lot of times the scope of work might change. There may be some new things that are introduced. So that has an impact on the overall goal that we want to achieve for that particular week. And then at the end of the week, when we hold our retrospective, we'll say, you know, it's pure data. How many things did we set out to complete? How many of those things were actually completed? And how much utilization did we have internally? Because one of the biggest challenges of an agile marketing methodology, and you and I spoke about this when we had dinner, is what we call the service catalog, which is you have to figure out every single thing that you do as a marketing department and really get really nitty gritty down to the detail and assign points to each thing, right? And so that's a real challenge. That's one of the things that was hardest for us to do. And even when we did that, we're constantly adjusting that because A, we may be doing new things, but B, hopefully some of the things that may have taken us 2 to 3 hours before to do, now that we've done it repeatedly, now it takes us half that time. So that's great and it enables us to do more work as a team, but we're still delivering the same amount of value to our clients. So that's a really great thing to do. But you know, that's really the way it works is figuring out what you're going to do, creating that backlog. So you have a backlog for the entire month or the entire quarter, whatever the projects are. And then week by week or sprint by sprint, you sort of decide what are the things that you're going to be working on. And as you said, so that you're continuously delivering value so that you don't have to wait until the end of the month to deliver that value. You can do it on a continuous level. The other thing that I think has been great for us, and it's something that I think marketing departments at law firms can leverage out of agile marketing methodology, is we have made sure that we do a lot of cross training and cross skill development. Because of the way the methodology works, there's always an internal review component. And so having people that know how to do certain things is really helpful because A, if someone's on vacation or someone's out, or if there's a new person that comes onto the team, having that cross-training methodology, you know, enables us to plug in and plug out a team member in a much easier way than if you just have a regular marketing methodology. So that has really been very useful for us.
Yeah, there's a lot of, in the daily stand-ups, what's really nice is that when you have the team together, you don't have to wonder where Bob is, or did John come in today, or did you hear if Carol finished that, or did so-and-so hear back from lawyer X, or did the logos get finished? So all of those pieces, all of that chatter, those extra emails, you pick up the phone, but all of those little follow-up calls are taken care of right there. And I think that that's a nice aspect of that. I know I'm just picking on one little thing kind of that you said, but I know, and there's a lot of time that we spent following up and chasing little details. But also an analogy came to mind. It's like when you're deconstructing a recipe for a food business, right? So maybe there's just a little tiny piece of basil that goes on top, but there's a time and a cost and you need inventory of the basil. And so like that, you have to approach tasks within the various disciplines of marketing and how long it takes you to get something done. And that can be, that's what we were talking about that night, how onerous that can be. But it's similar to that. And you're always changing your recipe. Sometimes you might double this, or you can't get avocados because there's a problem with avocados. So you have to change the recipe to something else. And that can be very difficult to do, but it does have its payoffs.
Absolutely.
And then the specialization, right? The specialization on the role. You know, you have somebody who maybe is a writer, but is also very good working with graphics, as a for instance. And there's a specific way in the agile techniques that charts out the composition of a team relative to their skills. And you have the various levels in measuring those skills so that you can put together any team that you need, depending on what the project is or if someone doesn't come in that day or something like that.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And you know, the analogy you gave of the cake recipe is such a great one. I'll give another analogy, you know, and you know this.
I own a restaurant.
I know you do.
I felt the same way when it was going through Market Man, the inventory system. You literally need to know that there's just a pinch of salt in that recipe.
Yeah.
What was your analogy?
Well, but before I do that, but I bet, Lynn, that you've gotten a lot, you and your team at your restaurant have gotten a lot better at making that recipe and making it faster and teaching people how to do it much more efficiently, right? Than you did when you first started making
no doubt
that cake. Same thing. Like, let's, my analogy is, it's not an analogy, it's a real thing. Like, you know, I'm sure every marketer at a law firm at some point has had to put together an event or a webinar in this case, right? And if we think about all of the different things that go into that, right? You have to figure out what the topic's going to be and who the speakers are going to be. And you got to put the list together of who you're going to invite. And you got to create the invitation. And you got to figure out how people are going to register. And then you have to put together the presentation for the webinar. And you have to practice and get everyone on the same page. And then you hold the webinar. And then after the webinar, you're going to follow up and you're going to try to generate. All of those different things are stories, right? Those are all stories in the Agile marketing methodology. And the webinar itself or the event, that is the big picture. And that's what you really have to think about, is deconstructing everything that you do as a marketer. The webinar is what you call an epic in the Agile marketing methodology. So it's a large deliverable, but there's many different little tasks or components that need to go into that. So the more you do this, the better you get. The first time you plan a webinar and execute it this way, it may take you, you know, multiple days. But as your team gets better and better and they get more used to it and the processes improve, all of a sudden you can do it in half the time, but you're still delivering the same amount of value to your clients. So that's really where I think the huge benefits of Agile marketing come in.
I agree.
All right, Lynn. So we're almost out of time, but I do have two more questions for you. First of all, again, as a CMO, and we have a lot of CMOs who listen to this podcast, how should a CMO ascertain whether an Agile marketing implementation would work at their firm? What would you think they have to think about to figure if this is right for their firm?
Sure. That's a question I get often as well. The best place to start is by reviewing their own teams relative to their needs, the goals of the firm, the leadership goals, and of course, the common frustrations, which are symptomatic that the current approach to managing the marketing work is not working as well as it could or should be. At Structura Strategy Group, we have developed a system for conducting agile marketing readiness appraisals, is what I'm calling them, for those exploring if and how adopting an agile approach might be to their benefit, an agile marketing approach specifically, and how to implement if they are ready. But I think readiness and assessing and evaluating readiness is the place to start. And we also conduct some introductory training and help in facilitating in the planning and in the management of agile marketing implementation. And there's many ways to do it, right? You went all in. Or at least I think that's what I remember. You went all in. But where I was, I couldn't. I didn't have a team that was big enough. And I had to keep the service that we were delivering to the law firm going while we implemented this. So for us, we layered in various techniques to improve our quality of life kind of in the meantime. So there's many ways of going about getting some benefit. And, you know, there is all in and then there's layering in various techniques and seeing how that goes. But unless an organization already has a master, like a Scrum Master or a Kanban Master or an Agile Marketing Leader in-house to help plan, my suggestion is that firms look outside, get outside expertise to conduct a readiness appraisal, at least as a starting point. And if you don't know anything about Agile Marketing, but you're interested in learning it, McKinsey has a primer paper out on it. Also, there's this skinny report that is put out on Agile by Adobe and IBM. I think that has some great information in it. And there's something called the International Consortium of Agile Methodologies, which is where I became certified. It's not specific to Agile marketing, but it includes all Agile methodologies. And of course, the software industry has been using it for many years. So I recommend it's icagile.org. icagile.org. And of course, there's the Marketing Manifesto, Agile Marketing Manifesto, which outlines the principles by which the approach was developed. And again, the heart is the creation and delivery of continuous value. One more thing I'll mention is there's a company called Agile Sherpas, and they created the training courses I took, which is both a leadership certification and a fundamentals of Agile Marketing certification, and I thought they were great as well. So I recommend them, and I can send all of this to you if you want to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I will make one more recommendation that started me in our journey towards Agile Marketing. It's a book by Scott Brinker, who works at HubSpot, called Hacking Marketing, Agile Practices to Make Marketing Smarter, Faster, and More Innovative. It's an easy read. So we'll list that as well for our audience if you want to learn about that. All right. So anyway, we've gone over what we usually go, but that's perfectly fine. I thought this was a great conversation and a very important topic. And I think one of these days, you and I are going to come back and talk about agile lawyering, right? Because agile is not just for the marketing team. Agile could definitely be used very effectively to deliver legal services. So maybe that's a different topic for a different day, maybe on a different show, but I think that would be an interesting topic for us to talk about.
Service delivery in the digital age. Yeah.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, any last words of advice for our audience? If they want to find out more about Agile Marketing, obviously we'll list all the resources that you gave, which were great, but anything else you want to tell our audience before we sign off for the day?
Yes, I would, and it's quite easy. Just consider becoming aware as you go throughout your day-to-day, how many interruptions you have, how much time you have for strategic planning. Consider adopting quarterly, not annual marketing plans and budgets, but really just take stock. Be more aware to the blocks in your work or to in your team's ability to deliver continuous value. What are the, I mentioned some of the pain points. I would just say that just become aware of where you think there are blocks to your team's productivity or to your productivity and start to inventory those and just take note of those. And then at some point, you'll take stock of those and give that a think and look to see what you could do to improve your quality of life and the quality of life of your team, because that's why I did it. I wanted to improve my own quality of life at work, and I wanted to improve the quality of life for my team. And this is the conduit to get there. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lynn. All right. Well, to our audience, thank you so much for listening to our show today. I hope you found it as enjoyable and as informative as I did. If you enjoyed today's episode and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. For you, Lynn, thank you so much for being on the show today. Really, really fantastic what you're doing at Structura Strategy Group. We will, of course, put a link to both Lynn's LinkedIn profile as well as a link to the Structura website. So if any of our listeners are interested in learning more about Agile or want to learn more about what Structura is doing, you can reach out to Lynn directly. Lynn, thank you again. It's always a
pleasure.
That would
be terrific.
And we love having you here.
Back at you, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone listening. Happy to talk Agile if anyone wants to discuss it.
Excellent. All right, everyone. Thank you for your time today. And we'll see you next time.